Welcome. You're listening to Raw Health Rebel Podcast with Lisa Strabak. It's time to disrupt the current view of health and return to the raw basics that true wellness comes from within. In this episode, I chat with the charismatic Quanta Marie, a psychic, intuitive card reader and self-love confidence coach who has a powerhouse mind of esoteric knowledge, lost truths and ancient wisdom. She's not scared of dropping an F or C bomb for that matter, so you can't say you haven't been warned. We cover so many vast subjects, from why raising your vibration can sometimes feel like anxiety and the power of thought. We go on to discuss how the Great Awakening and the Great Reset are coming together, the reintegration of science, sacred geometry, DMT and the holographic universe. Quanta Marie also shares her thoughts on future timelines and why 2024 and 2030 may be pivotal shifts. We touch on Tartaria, the American Great Expositions and the World Trade Fairs, why some people can't accept the reality of the current situation and how we can reconcile being prepared while keeping our vibrations high. We discuss Quanta Marie's ability to feel energy, why she allowed fear to shut off her abilities when she was younger, and she even shares her past life aggressions, including what it was like to be pure consciousness.
Thank you for coming on. Can you introduce yourself to everyone? Because I've been following you on Instagram for a while and on my old deleted account. And I love everything you have to say, and you just say it how it is. But if you tell people listening just a little bit more in your own words about you and what you do.
Thank you. Oh, thank you for having me on as well. So I'm Marie, but I go as Quanta Marie online. I do Reiki, Tarot, but I pretty much talk about esoteric, metaphysical, ancient truths, lost knowledge, all sorts of stuff. And I'm just me, and I just say it like it is. I'm not scared to drop the F-bomb now and then, or the C-bomb.
I love it, and that's what makes it for me so, like, I just, yeah, so entertaining and so many truths as well. So how did you, like, everyone's obviously got a bit of a story as to how they got into where they are now, and what you know, how did you get into sort of the alternative way of sort of life, you know, the psychic abilities, you're using your intuition, and from there, really, where did it come from?
I've always been like a bit of a weirdo and a bit of a freak, basically. Like, well, oh, that's how other people would label me anyway. I'm like, genius.
Yes.
But like, ever since I was a little kid, so when I was little, I've always been able to feel and read energy, but I didn't ever know what it was. I only went by like what my family and stuff would say to me. So when I was little, I would feel like energies move into the room, but I only had the vocabulary of what I learned from my parents. So then I would say things like, a ghost just walked into the room. And that's how things started. And my family and stuff were like really afraid of me and stuff like that. They used to get totally like freaked out by me. I was literally the freak of the family. Still am, I'll be honest. And yeah, so then it got to a point where obviously I saw these grown adults in my life. They were afraid of the things that I could do. So I actually ended up becoming afraid of it myself. And I shut my gifts off for years and years and years and years. But it always, like, the universe was always showing me things, always giving me things, always leading me to particular rabbit holes. Like in my early 20s, before I allowed it to start coming in again, I was working at a job, and there was this man who first introduced me to all of the, you know, the stories, the stuff what David Icke talks about, basically, and like, and the lizards and stuff like that. And it was my old boss, and he was telling me about it, and he was saying like his boss had taught him, and he was saying like his boss is like really high up in like in the elite world and stuff. He's like super rich, and he was like, and he's got this knowledge, and he was telling me about it, and I was like, I was like, no, how can this be real? Is this real? But something about it like resonated with me. And then I started, like, over the years, the universe kept giving me things. And then it was, I had like an event basically in my life that caused PTSD, and it, boom, forced me to allow it all back in again. And I became really, really anxious. And I think that a lot of people do that when they first start going through their awakening. They become really anxious because all of a sudden, your body is receiving all of these different energies that you're not used to. And when your vibration's rising, it can feel like anxiety, but it's not. It's like you're just high vibe. And like it can make your heart race and stuff. And if you don't know what that is, I think a lot of people who suffer with anxiety, a lot of the time, it's not actually anxiety. It's like you're going through like your energy is just too high. And also sometimes as well, I believe that when you're anxious, it's because you're around people who are not a good match for you, and it's saying, get out of here, get away from these people. So yeah, I went through a phase of being really anxious, and then I allowed myself to get back into my spiritual stuff. I started meditating and stuff, and it just boom, 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 just all started coming back to me really quickly. And I was like, why have I shut this off for so long? Why have I allowed fear to do this to me? And it was just, it just felt so good and so natural. And the more that I've feeled into it, and the more that I've accepted it, and I allow myself to take more and more of it in, the more that the universe gives me, and the more that I grow.
I love that. And you know, I love, actually, it's a really interesting way of looking at anxiety as well, because it does seem to be highly sensitive individuals that are more prone to anxiety, and they're obviously more prone to, well, they're more empaths normally and more prone to people's feelings and that kind of thing. So that makes I've never thought of it like that before, but I like that way of thinking.
Yeah, well, I've noticed sometimes when I do like techniques to raise my vibration, sometimes the way that it makes me feel, it reminds me of times when I was anxious, and it just makes me think, I wonder whether some of those times when I actually was anxious, I wasn't anxious, I just didn't know what it was. Your adrenaline rises because your energy's rising and you become in higher vibration. When your energy's rising, sometimes your heart has to pump faster so that your body can catch up to your energy.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's you know, that must have been quite scary as a child then, having those gifts and kind of, yeah, being told what you were told. I mean, that's hard enough anyway, but let alone when you haven't got any support as a child, I can see why, you know, you would shut it off.
I didn't realize I was shutting it off at the time. I think it was the fear just forced it to close, because they did make me so afraid of it.
So what did you actually see? Like, you said you use the term ghost because that's probably, I guess, what children, a term that they're familiar with. Did you see, was it spirits? How was it that it was?
So it's like, basically I can feel energy. It's hard to explain, really. I can feel things moving that actually the physical eye can't see. And sometimes I would be able to see them, but more often than not, it wasn't. I would just be able to feel. And it was strange as well, because there would always be, like, after I would say it, there would always be like a breeze or something afterwards, and that's what freaked them out as well, because it wasn't just me saying it, there was always some sort of physical evidence for them as well, and that's what freaked them out even more. But they used to always say about me as well, she's a really good judge of character. She's a really good judge of character. She knows things about people. Like, I would say, like, if someone new came into, like, my mother's life or one of my sister's life, and I would, like, just instantly know, like, as literally, like, a six-year-old, I'd be like, I don't like them. And they'd say, you can't say that, Marie. But then in time, they'd be like, how did she know? She knew straight away. But now I don't call myself, and I wouldn't say that I've got a good judge of character. I would say I read energy. I know, I sense, I know things. Clairsentience.
Yeah. God, I wish kids could be taught this, actually. I'm just thinking of my daughters, because they are real empaths and come on energy. It's like, hopefully in the newer, however we're going, kids will be more tuned into that.
Definitely.
And do you think, like, we all have that ability in us, or, you know, is it some people have more than others?
So I think that everybody is in tune with their inner guidance system. Everybody, our heart has an intelligence that's far superior to the brain. So what not a lot of people know about is, scientists have actually discovered a second brain on the heart. There's a set of 40,000 sensory neurites on the heart, and it's a mini brain that think, learn and remember completely separately from the brain. And what I say to people is, if you've ever got a choice between your head and your heart, always go for your heart, because your brain just thinks, your monkey mind up here, whereas your heart, it thinks and feels, and you just tune into your heart space. Anyone can connect to it, and you just need to quiet your mind down. It really helps as well if you put your hand on your heart when you want to connect with it, because anyone, you can get messages from your heart anytime, and it's your inner guidance system. Everybody has access to it. So what you do is, so if you put your physical there, it helps you to put your intention. Actually, you need to put your intention. Question, and if you like, 4 days down the road, blah, 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 that's your head talking. But if you get like no quick answer like that, more often than not, when you ask a question, if it's coming from your heart space, you'll get an answer before you've even finished asking the question. Everybody has access to that, and everybody has unique gifts as well. So there's 5 different clairsenses, and I think that everybody has at least one of those has access to them, whether you can hear things, see things, sense things. But there's all sorts of different ones. Like there's people can astral project. I wish that I could do that. I know people who can. I wish that I could do that. I'm going to keep trying, but you can't do it if you smoke too much weed. And I didn't stop until June, so it's taken a bit of a while. So hopefully I'll be able to. But in about 2018, I also started having spontaneous past life regressions where I've got no control over it. If I'm in a relaxed state, it happened to me the very first time when I was getting a massage. It was just boom, all of a sudden I was in a past life, and that just happens to me. I've got no control over that one yet. It's just one of those things. Yeah,
so what happens when you have one of those?
So it's like it's quite scary, I'll be honest. I'm getting more used to it now, but I don't really have control over it. I can't just say, right, I'm gonna go back to a past life now. It just happens to me, and I'm sure in time I will get control over it, where I will be able to. But it's like when I'm in a relaxed state, or when I'm meditating, sometimes boom, it just takes me back. And sometimes I do get really scared and pull myself out, because so he's a mad one. So I've always been afraid of boats, and I never, ever, ever knew why. Just always had this thing about being afraid of boats, afraid of the ocean. And I had a past life regression where I was on like a little fishing boat, and I was out in the, oh my God, the sea was so rough. Like the waves must have been like 100 feet. And I was stood at the front of this boat looking at these waves, just like accepting the fact that I'm going to die. I'm about to die. And knowing that there's no way this little boat is going to get through this, how rough it was. And then it was one of the scariest ones that I've ever had, but it made so much sense why I've always been afraid of boats and the ocean. I've never really known why. I like the sea and I like having a paddle in the sea, but when it comes to boats, no, thank you.
That's terrifying. I think I can't remember what film I watched once, but they were on a boat like with the I think a George Clooney in, years and years ago it is, and they all like got killed at the end, but the waves were enormous, and I thought, actually, how terrifying, because I've always loved the ocean and then I watched that and I thought, actually, that would be shit scary, because there's just nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, and when you think about it as well, how like ginormous the ocean is, you don't expect there to be waves at large. But when you think about it, out in the middle of the ocean where it's just literally all water, of course there's going to be waves that large. And until I had that past life regression, it never occurred to me before that, like, wow, imagine just being on a little boat out there. I don't know how I ended up out there, or what I was doing, or who I was with, or anything. Because in the past life regression that I had, I was just literally standing at the front of the boat on my own. I wasn't looking back, so I don't know who else was there with me. So I certainly wasn't sailing the boat. There must have been somebody else sailing it. But I remember just standing there looking and just looking up at this wave. It was about to come over, and just like accepting, I'm about to die now. I'm going to drown. There's no way I'm getting out of this.
Do you think, like, with the past life regressions, they've only just recent, you know, it's been more recent. Do you think they are trying to tell you something, give you guidance for your future life? Or, you know, what do you think, make of it? What's the purpose?
Definitely. I think that everything is a sign, or it's telling you something, giving you some sort of message. And I'm not really sure what that is trying to tell me yet, but I've had like different ones as well. So I've had a past life this one is crazy, right? So what the very first one, normally I get too afraid and I pull myself up and I'm like, oh, what's this? What's happening? Mm-hmm. And I'll pull myself out because I'm not asleep. I'm just in a relaxed state. So I can open my eyes at any moment. And the first one that I actually allowed myself to watch all the way through to the end, I was in it. And I was being walked, and I was walking along, and there were people around me, and people were talking to me, but I was kind of like in a daze, and I was like, what the hell is going on? And I was walking along, there was lots of people around me. I remember a man saying something to me, I can't remember now, something to do with the girls, you need to tell us now for the sake of the girls, and don't know what it was. And I could tell that it was Tudor Times, I could sense that it was Tudor Times. I had a long light blue dress on with like a creamy white panel down the middle. It was like floor length. I had like long dark hair, and I was walking along, and then boom, next thing, my head was down, chopped off. And then I sensed who I was, and I messaged my friends about it straight away, and one of them like googled the person, and they found a picture of her with her head on the block with a blue floor length dress on and a white panel down.
Oh, that's really creepy.
Totally, like, and from that moment as well, oopsie-daisy, from that moment as well, that was the universe clarifying for me, this is real, this is not just something happening in your head, this is actually real.
Yeah, that is, so do you believe, well, I think the answer's there, I'm going to let you answer it, what do you think with like reincarnation and past life, and big question, like, do we keep coming back again and again until we, you know, I don't know, clear our karma, or what's your take on?
I think that we have many lives on this planet, many lives on another planet, lives in different dimensions. I've actually lucid dreamed before, and it was one of the most profound things that ever happened to me, because I wrote it down in my diary. I might have even shared it on my YouTube once, actually, but I'm not sure. I'll have to find it. I'll share it with you what happened, because I wrote in my diary. I was just pure consciousness. I was nothing else. I wasn't in a body, and I was lucid dreaming. I was literally just, it was like, you know, on the AO or the OA, which one is it, where they talk about the dazzling darkness, and it was just that. It was just dazzling darkness, and it was, I had no body, no form. It was just, I was pure awareness. And I think that we've had lifetimes where we've been that as well. We don't have any form. I think that we've probably been animals, all sorts. We've been lots of different things.
Did it feel like comforting to be pure consciousness, or how did it feel?
At the time when I was in it, when I was like lucid dreaming, I just was. It wasn't like I was thinking like, oh my God, where's my body? It's not until I woke up and I thought, wow, immediately, boom, dream diary straight out. I need to write this down, because it was, and I remember as well, it felt so profound. I was literally shaking when I was writing it, because I was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe what I've just experienced. And when you have those type of experiences as well, it clarifies things for you that you already know, and you've already been taught, and you've read these teachings, and you already kind of know and understand that we are just consciousness, we're just awareness, these bodies are not us, they're just our vehicles this lifetime. And then when you have experiences like that, it's just like, wow, I don't just know and believe this, I've experienced this, I am this, I know this now.
Do you know what, I'm going to start making a note of my dreams a bit more, actually, because I dream loads, and I always thought everyone dreamed loads, and it was only when I started seeing homeopathy patients, and we always talk about dreams, I know everyone dreams, but whether or not you remember them, and most people I found don't remember their dreams, and I just took it for granted because my family are all dreamers, that, you know, that everyone did. So
by any chance, did I smoke weed? Because I didn't realise, I went through a phase of smoking weed for like a really long period in my life, and it wasn't until someone mentioned people who smoke weed don't have dreams, and I thought, wait a minute, I actually haven't remembered a dream for years. And ever since I've stopped smoking weed, oh my God, I'm remembering all my dreams, and it's so good. I've got a dream diary just because I really want to start astral projecting and lucid dreaming more. And the more that you write down your dreams, I mean, I am actually terrible to write them down. I wake up and I remember them and I think I should write this down, but then I actually don't more often than not. But the more that you remember them, the more that you write them down, the better it helps you to remember them. And then you can notice things in in your dreams that you've recognized before, and then it helps you to just wake up within the dream.
Yeah, no, I'm going to do it. Now, no, most, no, I mean, actually, the people that don't remember their dreams are a huge, like, spectrum of people, from kids, actually, even to, like, you know, older people. I assume that everyone would remember their dreams, or at least some of them. And, I've been amazed at how many people don't. But I do, yeah, I've heard that as well. You know, we can stop you remembering your dreams.
Yeah, that's interesting. I just assumed as well that everybody remembered their dreams.
No. I mean, maybe it's just the people that I attract to treat. But no, they don't. It's really, yeah, I'm really surprised by it. But, I dream loads, so yeah, I'm definitely going to start writing them down, actually.
I suppose, unless, like, it comes up in conversation, you always do just assume that everybody's like you, everybody's having the same experience as you, so unless you're talking about it, you wouldn't know that other people don't remember their dreams. Oh, I feel sorry for them.
yeah, no, definitely. So what I wanted to ask, actually, I mean, do you see people one-on-one to help them with, you know, what kind of work do you do on a sort of day-to-day basis?
So I do my tarot readings. I don't think I actually mentioned this before, but I'm a self-love and confidence coach as well. I help to empower people to love themselves more, because when life is just better when you learn how to love yourself. And I remember what I used to be like before my awakening. I had so much self-hate that I didn't even realize. I'd look myself in the mirror and I'd pick myself apart and I'd be like, oh, look at your spots. Oh, you're fat. And it's so funny the way I am now, because I look at myself and I'm like, you're beautiful, you've got an amazing body, and it's from using affirmations and all these same things. And I haven't changed that much in that time. The only thing that's changed is my perspective. And it's like, my body is still the same, but back then I looked at it in a different way, and I would be like, all this fat on my sides and on my tummy, which I would have called fat before, and I would have judged myself for it. I don't do that anymore, because I think too many of us judge ourselves based on how we believe other people are judging us, and also the judgments that we make about other people as well. And it's just all about reprogramming that within the brain, because there's so much to talk about with the brain and reprogramming, because everything is about your thoughts. This is what I try and teach people. Like, if you can change your life by changing thoughts, and literally, so thoughts start in the neocortex, and from there it triggers the limbic brain, and the limbic brain is where all of our chemicals and hormones are stored, and that's like basically our emotions. So you can control the way that you feel by the way that you think. So if you're like, if you're thinking all these shitty thoughts, and you're going to be releasing cortisol and getting yourself stressed, if you're thinking good happy thoughts and you're keeping yourself high vibrational, I know that it's easier said than done, don't get me wrong, I go on mad downers sometimes, but as long as you can bring your thoughts back to good thoughts, and you'll start releasing like oxytocin, dopamine, serotonin, you can bring yourself back up, because then it goes into the body, and then your body does what your brain is telling it to do. And you know, if you're releasing all these shitty chemicals, then you're going to be like shaking, your body will be shaking in response to it. And or do you want to be like, woo, upbeat? It's literally everything comes back to your thoughts.
I love that. You know, God, there's so much I want to talk about that, because I think, you know, women in particular have that, just we talk to ourselves so badly, and I think you wouldn't ever talk to a friend like that, but the way we talk to ourselves, and I don't know quite where it comes from.
It's our own inner voice. So more about the brain here. So basically, from the womb until the age of 6 or 7, our brain is in theta brainwave state, which is like basically your brain is just a sponge. We're taking everything in, everything that we experience, learn here, what our parents say, what our friends say, what teachers say, everything in that time we're taking in, that's creating our worldview from there. So if you've got negative family members and negative people around you who are like, so for me, for example, I had quite bitter jealous sisters who'd be like, look at her. Blah, blah, blah. So I always grew up thinking that it's a bad thing to love yourself. Oh, it's like my sisters would say things like, oh, look at her, she fucking loves herself, she thinks she's fucking mint. Where it's like, so what if she loves herself? So what if she doesn't think she's mint? Hopefully she knows she's mint. And like, and that's how I like to empower people. Like, don't be scared of what people might say. People try and say things like, oh, it's narcissism. No, it's not. It's just knowing that everybody is beautiful. You're not saying that because you're beautiful, but other people are ugly. It's about knowing that you are beautiful and so is everybody else. And I know that that is so like, oh my God, so like love and light. But I'm not a love and light type of person at all. I'm like, I'm in tune with the light and the dark, the duality. We've all got both within us and you have to accept both sides of yourself.
Do you know what? I love it. That's so powerful. Because I think when I remember being at school and people going, oh, she loves herself. Like it was like the ultimate insult, wasn't it? So you just go around like talking like shit to yourself. And I think if everyone genuinely did love themselves, I've said this on other podcasts, if we worked on ourselves and loved ourselves, we didn't have bitterness, you know, and came from a real good place, the world would be amazing, wouldn't it?
It would be, because that kind of reminds me of the Michael Jackson song Man in the Mirror. If you want to change the world, all you've got to do is work on yourself individually. If we all work on ourselves, we can create a better world. You don't have to go out and try and physically change the world. Work on yourself and inspire other people to work on themselves as well, and help and empower other people to work on themselves. Give them the knowledge that they need in order to be able to make themselves a better person.
That's so true. And actually I was going to ask you this later, I'm going to, as it's sort of come up now, just with a lot of sort of light workers and light-minded people, you know, they're on Instagram or social media and they're trying desperately to change people's views or make people wake up, and we can get kind of sucked into almost neglecting ourselves again, because we're kind of got that mindset of I've got to try and wake people up and, you know, show people the truth. And I really, it's something I struggle with.
Me too sometimes.
I was going to ask you any advice on that. Or
I suppose I am getting better, but like, I mean, I've been saying to people, wake up, before the pandemic even started. So it's quite funny, because like over the years there's been like the spiritual people who've been like, wake up, the great awakening is coming. And like, then there's been like the conspiracy people who've been like, wake up, the great reset's coming. And then it's like the spiritual people knew a little bit about the conspiracy theories, the conspiracy theorists knew a little bit about spiritual stuff, and it's like, boom, they've just both collided and come together. The great awakening and the great reset have both happened at the same time. We were both right. And it's mad. So like, I do still sometimes, especially with current world circumstances, sometimes I am still like, wake up, like I can't actually believe that there's still people asleep. Like, are you brain dead or what? Like, how is the people still asleep now? But sometimes I really just have to reel it in and just remember, like, do you know what, just try and set the example. That's a huge message that the universe has been giving me this year. Don't try and change people. Be the example and set the example for other people to follow in your footsteps. Be the leader that the world needs.
That's given me like chills. And you know, it's so funny, and to throw it in there as well. So you've got, the conspiracy theorists, the spiritual, and then you've also got like the health lot of coming in as well. It's like a trinity.
I've never looked at it from that perspective. That is so true. Because obviously with what's going on now and all this bloody COVID bullshit, you've got all the natural, you're like the holisticy people, aren't you? I suppose you come into the spiritual bracket anyway. I would put you people in the spiritual bracket anyway.
And there is overlap
to a certain extent.
Definitely. And it was funny because before COVID, I remember just saying to my husband not long before, oh, we just need something for everyone to come together, because even in, like, you know, I'm a homeopath, but even in the alternative health field, everyone was disjointed. You know, you had the acupuncturists or the chiropractors and the osteopaths, and everyone's their own little sort of group. And I was like, we just need something to bring everyone together, because we're all on the same page fundamentally. And it's like, well, here you go, have some of that. You asked for it. So we've all, like, even bigger, all come together. I love that.
I think it's happening in the science community as well. So what I like to do is I like to bring spirit and science together. There's an amazing scientist called Nassim Haramein, and what he's doing is he's working in the field of unified science, and it's quantum physics essentially. And it's what I talk about on my channel. But it's like all of the sciences have been segregated and they've been taken at like physics, chemistry, biology, geology. And it's like, it's because science is so vast that, you know, it's like people have been like, I'll research this one aspect, and then they've all been separated, whereas they shouldn't have been. It should all have been one. And he's bringing it back into one now, and he's got the maths, he's got the equations, he is a genius. This man will literally go down in history. He's going to be go down with the likes of like Einstein, Newton, Nikola Tesla. Love him. Oh, do you know what? I've got his portrait on my arm. Absolutely love him. But what I wanted to do was, so I said to my tattoo artist,
that's awesome.
I said, that's like, amazing. You make him sexy. I was like, I want you to put some pecs on him, put some tattoos on him. So he's got like, I don't know whether you can see, but he's got 11-11 up here above his eyebrow.
Yeah.
He's got 369 on his knuckles. He's got a lightning bolt over here. I don't know whether you can see. Yes. And he's got a pigeon on his neck. But it's also, it's got UV ink in it as well. So it's got all lightning bolts around with UV ink in it. And he's got UV ink in his eyes as well. Love Nikola Tesla, man.
That's amazing. I love it. Absolutely love it. So who's the name of this guy? I haven't heard of the scientist you said. I'm going to link.
Nassim Haramein. He is amazing. I'll send you his Instagram account when we come off, so you can definitely find him.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what kind of things does he sort of post, you know, about?
All sorts. So he's very spiritual as well. So he's into like sacred geometry, and he talks about how like sacred geometry is literally the foundation of the universe. They are the shapes that build the universe. And he talks about how, you know, the macro and the micro, so like the tiny, tiny subatomic particles that make up us and everything are also the exact same things that make up the universe, just fucking massive. And it's like, so we live in a holographic universe. DMT taught me this. I love DMT, right? So DMT told me that we live in a holographic universe, and it showed me that it just went zoom, 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 zoomed right in to like, and it was just showing me how it goes on forever and ever, zooming in. Doesn't matter how far you go, it just keeps going, keeps going. And then it went, and then took me out into the universe, and it was just showing how it goes bigger, 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 bigger. There's no end. It's like, it goes, doesn't matter how much our technology, when we have microscopes and telescopes, whenever we invent something so that we can see a little bit further out there and a little bit deeper in here, we always find something more. Always. It just goes on and on and on and on. It's amazing.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, I absolutely love it. And I really want to look him up now. I've just bought a book, actually. I need to read it, but it's the mathematical, what is it? It's all about the mathematical secrets of the universe and the Fibonacci.
Oh, yes, Fibonacci sequence, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's like, there's so much that we don't know, isn't there? And I find it just almost comical that these scientists, the mainstream ones, just act like it's a done deal and we just know everything. So this is exciting.
And it's mad how literally sometimes you can think like that there's not anything that I could possibly know. And it's like, just before we come onto this, you mentioned Tartaria to me. And I was like, oh my God, I literally only learned about this yesterday. And it's like, and then you're bringing it up to me. It's like, this is the universe saying to me, Marie, this is the next rabbit hole you've got to go down. Throw yourself into it. You need to learn more about it. And that's the universe clarifying it for me. Something brand new. It's like, bloody hell, something else that I've got to learn now.
Yeah.
But it's obviously the people need teaching about it.
There's some really good Instagram accounts on Tartaria. So yeah, and anyone listening that's like, what the fuck are they talking about? Yeah, go search for yourselves and you'll find, I'll put a link to some of the accounts. I tell you what, related to kind of Tartaria and that, have you looked at really going off on the tangent and not what the podcast is about, but hey, it's good to see where it goes. The expositions in America, the New World Expositions. Have you gone down that rabbit hole?
No.
Oh, that's amazing. Right. I have to, it's a book. Hang on. Let me just grab it. I have my Instagram friend, Chad Kilgore, to blame for this one. He's been on a couple of times. This book, Exposing the expositions, ancient Rome and America. Have you?
Oh, right. So that's what expositions is. Yeah, I am aware of it. The Vatican and the White House, it's basically like the same building, isn't it? But yeah, I don't know enough about it.
Get that book. Get reading. This is amazing. It talks about that they had these world trade fairs in the late 1800s, and they built like these cities. Apparently, they built them in the space of like 2 years. And then they disassembled them. And you've got modern day construction experts basically saying it wasn't possible to build these buildings. And some really weird things sort of happened. But it's all documented, what the actual, the Great Expositions and the World Trade Fairs. And I'll put a link to a podcast. The guy that wrote this was on Crow 777, and he was amazing. It was an amazing podcast. So yeah, going down more rabbit holes, that's definitely one to go down to. You'll like that. So one thing I wanted to ask, actually, I saw an Instagram post that you did a while back, and it had it was like a cartoon image of like two potential ways that you could go, like one being the Great Reset, one sort of being the Great Awakening. And you said, you know, you've seen timelines for both, and potentially how do we, yeah, do you have a view of which way we're going to go? I know that's a huge like question, so don't necessarily feel, you know, answer it. So let's start there.
So it's like I've been talking about this for a while, but sometimes I do let myself get it. Like us all, I think that you're lying if at some point over since this began, you're lying if you say that you haven't been eaten up by fear at some point. I think everyone has. And so I've, most of the time, I do like to say to people, just dispel any sort of fear, but you can't do that all the time. Sometimes it is going to eat you up. Dispel fear, because literally, in the end, it's fine. So all this COVID stuff, it, unfortunately, it's going to continue until 2024, and it is going to get worse until it gets better. But by the time we actually get to 2030, we're going to live in a much more harmonious world where we're integrating all of these new things that we're learning, the free energy and all this other stuff. That's going to be more integrated into the world by the time 2030 comes along. But just know that by the time it gets to 20, like, this is going to continue until 2024, and it is going to get worse before it gets better. But in the long run, it's very good for us, because all this stuff is being brought to the surface for a purpose. If good is coming to the surface and bad is coming to the surface, and if all this bad wasn't coming to the surface, then we wouldn't be able to eradicate it.
Yeah, better out than in.
The
same is like when it comes to healing your body, you know, sometimes you just have to expel it, as horrible as it might be, to get rid of it for the long term. Yeah. I've heard that, but elsewhere, actually, 2024 is, you know, it's going to continue to get worse until then. So I think, well, we've done what, nearly 2 years, so it's only another 3.
Yeah.
I know. Do you see that in terms of like segregations or lockdowns, or is it just unclear sort of where things could go?
Yeah, so I get shown bits and pieces here and there, but there's definitely going to be something this month during October. So since about March time, I've been getting shown October this year, like the Akashic Records for me, like October has just been like blacked out, like it didn't want me to know what's going on. And so far, October for me has been amazing so far, so I'm staying vigilant, but there's definitely going to be something, although I don't know what it is, but there's definitely going to be something. Maybe it's we'll get thrown back into lockdown or something again, but there's definitely something that's going to cause a lot of disruption this month, but I'm not sure what it is. For some reason, they don't want me to know. The Akashic Records for this month are just blacked out.
It's weird, you said, because I feel like, you know, particularly in the UK, we've almost gone, or like I'm talking about myself more, but, you know, I've gone not lulled into a false sense of security, because I know like ultimately what's happening. But it's bizarre how things have got pretty much back to normal, really, haven't they?
Yeah, and I think like a lot of people must be thinking about me, like when I'm banging on about it, they must be thinking like, oh god, we're back to normal, why is she still piping up about this now? And it's like, seriously, if you think that it's over, wow. Yeah, yeah.
No,
I feel,
I, yeah And that's, you know, you're probably like me in that you surround yourself as much as you can with like-minded people, and you've got your tribe. And then every now and again, like, you know, you have to integrate with normies or whatever you want to call them, people that aren't aware.
Muggles.
Yes, muggles that aren't aware. And I had this just the weekend gone for the first time. And I was like, oh my God, these people have no idea. No idea whatsoever. Like, they really think that everything's back to normal. You know, they've had their vaccine, whatever. They're just completely normal. And I think there was part of me that was slightly envious. I thought, because
I feel sorry for them. I think, you poor cunt, you are not going to be prepared. Like, when this next lockdown comes in, you are not going to be prepared.
Well, there is that. And I guess it's like you know, I have that in my head going, well, we create our own reality. And, you know, I don't want to live in fear. And even like when I'm getting prepared, I'm like, is this in a low vibrational state? I have trouble reconciling it all together.
See, I feel exactly the same as you. But sometimes I just think there's no harm in preparing. Like, I'd rather know that if the worst happens, I'm prepared, rather than not preparing and then it does happen. You're not doing anything wrong by preparing. You're just saying, you know, I'm being cautious. You can be cautious about COVID and go get a vaccine, or you can be cautious about the vaccine and everything that's going on in the world. I think everybody needs to be cautious in some sort of way, but it's the way that you perceive things. Are you afraid of a virus, or are you I don't like to use the word afraid anyway, but I suppose they are afraid of a virus. But for us, I'm cautious about the government, and I keep my wits about me when it comes to the government, because they can't be trusted, and that's it.
Yeah, and anyone that thinks they can be trusted after, you know, like you look back to the messages at the start, you know, it's completely going back on what they've said. So
I've lied from day one. I don't understand how anybody trusts them. Like, but that literally goes back to the fact of the government are essentially, they're our protectors. So if you get to the point where you admit you can't trust the government, it's almost like a child saying, I don't trust my parents to look after me. And that's why so many people can't accept it. It's way too scary for them. Accept it, the government are the mafia, and that's it. The government are basically, we'll protect you if you pay us and you do what we tell you, and that's it. That's what the government are, the mafia.
Yeah, and you've hit the nail on the head, and people can't.
Organised criminals? Yeah. The biggest organised criminals in the world.
And people can't go, I can't trust them, because it is like they are complete. We're not self-sufficient. Too many people rely on the government and every system, and it's too much for them to go, no, they don't have my best interests at heart.
Yeah.
What do they, people aren't prepared. That's the thing. What do they do? So,
it's too hard to accept them, because once they accept that, their full world comes crumbling around them. And it's like, it's for them, it's a lot scarier to admit that they can't trust the government than think that there's a deadly virus. If I breathe, I might die. Like, I can't deal with them.
No, I know, it's really, really, really hard, isn't it? I just think, I mean, I know from my own experience years ago when my daughter, she was actually vaccine injured. And when I woke up, it was that woke me up. And I just remember thinking, because it wasn't just about the vaccine that actually you can get bad side effects. It was everything. Like, I remember my whole world literally went imploded and fucked, because everything I believed was no longer what it was before. And you've got everyone in society now. Can you imagine if they all did wake up at the same time?
Yeah, it would literally, well, that's why we have to be drip fed information bit by bit, because if we learned everything all at once, people would literally lose their mind. You know, it would literally, we've already got a little bit of mass hysteria, but if adrenochrome, for example, imagine adrenochrome was put on the news and they actually said it on the news, adrenochrome is real, people would literally start killing themselves in masses, because it'd be too scary for them to admit. I remember when I first learned about adrenochrome, and I actually, the cognitive dissonance that I got, it actually really, really scared me. I remember like I was literally like, like, it scared me a little bit, because I was like, so wait a minute, you're telling me that actual like vampires exist, because essentially that's what you're saying, people drink blood, like, and I was like, vampires are real, I don't know whether I can deal with that. And then obviously it goes deeper than that, like the torturing of the children and stuff as well, but so many people just can't accept that. When I talk about that, some people think I'm mental.
When did you find out about that?
I only learned about adrenochrome last year, and I learned it from a girl who, she'd literally only woke up a few months before, and she'd like thrown herself into the rabbit holes, and she was telling me about that, and I was like, no, this can't be real. This literally can't be real. We were talking before about Sean Speaks, weren't we? Sean Argyll, and he's one of the people who... he got the information out there to the masses about it, and he found out about it. And it's really interesting how the universe works, because he's literally from my town. And I remember when it was all going on at the time, when he was trying to get the information out initially, he'd passed the information on to some of my like friends. Because one of them, he's like, he's a paparazzi and he works for the press. So I'd got it to him to try and get him to get it out to the press. And they literally like, they were just laughing. They thought he was crazy. And I'd heard about Pizzagate, but I didn't know about all the adrenochrome stuff. I didn't know it went that deep. But I remember them telling me about it, laughing about it, thinking he was mental. And I was like, oh no, like I've heard about this Pizzagate stuff. Apparently it's real. And it's just, it's mad, isn't it? It's, some people, it takes a while for you to fully accept it. I think that you've got to, just hearing it sometimes, it's not good enough. You've then got to hear it from people who actually know. Some of the documentaries and stuff that have really helped me to like accept it more is like you know, Into the Shadows, is that what it's called?
Yes, that is such a good film, the documentary, because it's not too it is sensationalist in the terms of its content, but they do it in such a good way, I think.
Yeah, they do, and it's the people who were involved as well, like that journalist, I don't remember her name, but she's fantastic. And also there's a guy who actually like worked in Hollywood and stuff, I think, is he a what's it called, a stuntman? He's a stuntman, isn't he? And he talks about like the things that he knew. But sometimes things like come out about other celebrities. Like I've heard stories about like Justin Bieber talking about things what he's, but it's never come from a video of Justin Bieber actually talking about it. So you have to always take that with a pinch of salt. You don't know whether these stories are actually true, but there's obviously like the stories of like Justin Bieber, how apparently they tried to like bring him deeper in, and apparently Selena Gomez was pregnant, and they like forced her to have an abortion as punishment for them not feeding on the babies and stuff. Like, oh, it's just crazy to think about, isn't it?
It's really like seriously dark. And I just think this is again one thing that I kind of not struggle with, but how we know this, not like knowledge and that stuff like that is out there, what do we do with it? How do we keep our vibration high? Like, you know, this, I guess, is a planet of balance. How do we integrate that? I just find it really difficult. It's almost, and it's sort of an analogy I used previously, but it's like, I'm vegetarian, I don't eat meat, but I don't want to watch videos of what goes on in the industrial farming. Like, you know, I know it's bad. I guess at what point do we say, well, there's nothing we can do? Try and tell people. It's really hard, isn't it, to get that balance?
It is, yeah. So I like to call myself a dark light worker. I actually got that from there's somebody on Instagram called PlasmaBond369. He's amazing. I suggest everybody follows him. But he's got on his account Dark Light Worker, and it really, really resonates with me, because I'm a light worker, but I also accept my darkness, and I also accept that there's darkness out there as well. And yeah, sometimes we all ebb and flow, you can't help it. And sometimes you do need to allow yourself to fall into a little bit of a lower vibration sometimes, because you have to allow yourself to take on this energy. And I think that like what you were saying there about you're vegetarian, you don't want to watch those videos, that's absolutely acceptable, because you've already learned that information, you already know what happens to those animals, so why would you go back and watch those videos? You've already taken that in, you've already allowed your vibration to be lowered somewhat, and then you've risen up even higher by becoming vegetarian. And I think that that's what we need to learn to do. You've got to just accept that these dark things are out there, dark entities, dark situations, all these dark things. You've got to accept that you've got darkness within you. Mm. And then you've got to just accept that sometimes you're going to be a bit of a low vibration. But I think that every time you dip into a low vibration, when you bring yourself back up, you come up even higher. We dip into these low vibrationals for an absolute purpose, so it can bring us up even higher.
That's so true. And you need to sometimes have that darkness to actually appreciate, you know, the other side of it. What one thing I want to ask you, when you said about you know, getting prepared, what advice, you know, what are you doing to get prepared? What advice would you give to people that are like, or maybe they're thinking, what's she talking about? What do I need to prepare for? Like, what do I do?
So I've got like a group of like-minded people who are preparing just the same as me. So if things got to a point where it was really bad and they're literally knocking on our door saying we're going to vaccinate you, you've got no choice, I've got a bug out bag packed with like a few days worth of food for myself and my son and like essential items that I might need. I've been on a survival course and I've been learning how to survive in the wild just in case. My friends and I were finding out about how to acquire land and acquire properties and finding other communities. We've made our own little individual communities, but we're going out to places and finding like where could we go. Hopefully it would never ever ever have to come to that, hopefully. But you know, if it did come down to that, I mean, sometimes all you've got to do is look at like what Australia's like, look at what Canada's like, look at what France is like. Eventually that's going to happen here as well. Like even America's mad, isn't it? Because you've got like on one side over here you've got Florida, it's open, it's amazing, and then boom, over here you've got California and it's like York can't come to school now unless they're vaccinated. And it's like it's mad. It's all happening at different stages and different times. And I think the best thing that you can do is watch these other countries. We're in a really good position where we're behind all them, so we can actually see what's happening with them to know what's coming towards us. Places like the things that do sometimes pull me into a low vibration, but then it forces me to prepare more, is things like Indonesia and stuff like that, where they've got roadblocks up and stuff, and if you're not vaccinated, you literally can't even leave your house. Like the police escort you straight back home, and that's when you would need to get out and get out of the way. But I know people in Australia as well, who are like, because obviously I talk about a lot of stuff on my page and on my story, and I get a lot of people who DM me, and there's people in Australia who are talking about like they're ready to go off grid. Off grid living is eventually we're all going to be self-sufficient and off grid in time, like when it gets to that point. And I think that some of us are going to be doing that far sooner than others. All the vaccinated people, they're probably going to die anyway. Who knows what's going to happen to them, but it's certainly not going to be nice whatever happens to them. If they don't die, they're going to get trapped in a system where they're completely controlled anyway, just like China. But us guys who actually know who we are, eventually, slowly over time, it feels scary to us because, wow, we're leaving all of these comforts. But what's to say that we can't have those comforts living out in the forest, in huts that we've learned how to build ourselves? That's another thing as well. So I'm learning how to create shelters from like a tarpaulin, to also learning how to build like log huts and how to chop trees and stuff like that. But we need to all have our own pieces of land, or even get a piece of land and allow other people to come on there. And we should be, we've all got our individual gifts. Obviously you're a homeopath, and we all need to be coming together and saying like, so you would be the doctor of the community. We don't need real doctors, we need people like you, and that's that. You've got an amazing thing to offer people, to get yourself into one of these communities. You can come join mine.
Well, you're all the way up, a long way away, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, I'm way up north, you're way down south. But it's not set in stone where we're going yet. We're still exploring different places and we're still open to ideas.
Come down here, the weather's better, not much, That's such a big thing. Like, because we want to get land and we're looking, and it's obviously hard here in the southeast because there's hardly anything. But I'm like, the weather, you know, is shitty enough as it is in this country, at least. Like, it's just about the best bit. So that's a factor for me. good weather. Not that England really, I guess it makes much difference where you go, but
yeah,
not Scotland.
Definitely not Scotland. Oh god, I couldn't cope with all that rain, bless them.
No, I know, and it's a shame, isn't it, because Scotland does look beautiful, like, you know, it really does look stunning, but and there's so much space.
I always think that the northwest gets a lot more rain as well. I think that the east where we are, your southeast, I'm northeast, I think that we tend to be more sunny, whereas I always think it must come from I always get the Atlantic and the Pacific mixed up. Which one is that one?
Atlantic.
Yeah, yeah, the Atlantic. It must come from there, and it comes over Ireland and the channel there. And I think that the northwest is always really cloudy and rainy, whereas like we in the northeast, we tend to be a lot more sunny than them, I've noticed.
Yeah, and that makes sense, because in like, I love Cornwall, but the southwest, it's always pissing it down with rain, like, and it's always nice back home, and I'm like, why am I going on holiday to somewhere where the weather's shittier? But yeah, it is, it's the west coast, I guess, it does bear the brunt of the weather. That's what I think will happen as well, is that we're gonna get to these off-grid communities. And I know, like, so I've wanted to do that for years, like, forget about like COVID. It's just something
I thought it was like a dream that would never happen, but it's like it's actually happening. It's like we're living in amazing times right now, and I think that so many of us look towards negatives, like, oh my god, we're in a fake pandemic, and but really the world is changing for the better, and it really, really is.
Yeah, and I think it is giving, like, what skills have people got, and it will go back to hopefully energy exchange, you know, system, rather than this crappy financial system. It's like tangible, real stuff.
Yeah, because we should be trading as well. I think I do a lot of trades as well with my work, so if I come across someone like yourself and I think like, oh, and I do trades with people, obviously I do still deal with money as well, but I think that's what it's going to be like in these communities. We're not going to have money and stuff like that. We're just going to be like, we're going to be trading our gifts and our skills and stuff like that. It's like, well, that things don't need to have a monetary value. We can just say like, I'll give you this, you give me that, I can build you a hort, you know, you sort out my broken leg, whatever it is, you know what I mean? Like, and that's how we should be. We need to learn to be more giving. It shouldn't be like, well, you know, my service that I provide, I charge more than you, so I can't do that trade. Yeah, I don't think it should be like that. We need to have more respect for what each other does, and it doesn't matter, like, I do trades with loads of different types of creative people as well. Like, I've had like artwork from people, like crystals. Yeah. And I do loads of different trades and stuff for people.
Oh no, that's amazing. Yeah. And I think actually Jacqueline Dunn was saying on a previous podcast about in her community where they've linked up locally, that they do it on time more than anything, because she said someone in her group was like, well, I'm just a PA, or I don't have anything to offer. And she's like, no, you're not just, and you know, you've got great organisational skills if you're a PA, and there are people that can do the babysitting or the childcare, you know, everyone's got something to offer. Yeah. So you're a mum. How do you find sort of having children in this world? You know, it's something that when, you know, I'm like, what the hell have I brought my kids into, like, this, where we're going?
At least you haven't been crazy enough to get pregnant during the pandemic.
Well, yeah, there are, you know, that I do think that's really hard. But
yeah, sure. Jesus. I mean, if you're pregnant before the pandemic and you just had to go through it, that's one thing. But actually getting pregnant during the pandemic, I think, like, wow, how could you put yourself through that? It's wild. And the kid as well, like, what world are they going to, the first years of like their life, they're so important. That like I mentioned earlier about like everything they've taken, it's sponge, like, oh, what has happened? They're poor little brains, them kids. But my son, I've taken him out of school. I've never really agreed with the school system anyway myself, because I didn't like school anyway. There's so much bullying. You never know who they're going to be around. There's obviously always going to be bad energy, bad people, and you can't help it. And, you know, it's better to control who you're around in a certain sort of way. My son was struggling with bullying as well. But also, he was actually, like, really behind with his English. And I just don't agree with school anyway. Do you know what, really? One of the worst things that I hated about school, the school run. It really pisses me off. Who the fuck are you to tell me that I have to have my child at a certain place at a certain time 5 days a week? I don't fucking think so. It's my kid. Don't tell me where my kid has to go. So yeah, my kid's getting homeschooled now.
And how's that going?
He's currently downstairs doing his work. Do you know what? It took us a while to get into the rhythm. I had to completely change my work schedule. I've had to, like, a lot of the work and stuff that I was doing, I've had to massively cut it down so that I actually have the time to, like, teach him and homeschool him. But I love it. So he's amazing at maths. So we do his maths, we do his English. But I had, like, an original, like, curriculum that I was doing for him. But over time, it's changing. It's adapted. So we've started doing, like, navigating and stuff now. So we've got a few maps. He's learning, like, map reading. Yeah, because you never know, like, with, like, Instagram going down the other day, I was in Manchester at the weekend, and I think for a while, the whole of the internet was down for a while. I don't remember if it was just in Manchester, but no one had had the internet for a while. And it just goes to show that you can't rely on technology. Mm. And when we're driving about, if we don't have sat-nav and we don't have these maps, we need to learn how to map read. And so my dad used to be a truck driver, and I used to be his navigator as I was a kid. My dad taught me how to map read as a child, so it's nice now that I'm teaching my son. Everything's meant to be. Everything is so meant to be. But I'm teaching him about Kabbalah.
Amazing.
Oh, I absolutely love it. I'm not into religion. Religion is man-made, and I know that some people might see Kabbalah as religion, but I don't. I see them as spiritual teachings. It doesn't say to you have to do this, and you must do that, and you should not do this, like what other religions tell you. It's just like spiritual teachings, and it's telling you, like, it's just so much better. I think that everyone, it's so intricate as well. And I know that some people are against, like, Judaism and stuff like that, and it goes back to, like, it's all written in, like, ancient Hebrew and stuff, and some people might view it as being like Judaism, but it's not. It's its own thing. I think that Judaism has probably come from Kabbalah in some sort of way, and, like, churchianity, as I like to call it, churchianity, Islam and Judaism, they're all the same religion essentially anyway, and they're all extremely oppressive.
Mm. It's amazing that you can teach. Like, I love it. And I love the fact that you're walking your talk, you know, and I think people need to do that. I'm getting there. So one of my kids is now, I've pulled her out of the mainstream education, and she's at a lovely home ed group, which I didn't realise how many groups there are out there as well. You know,
do you know what? I'm wanting to start a group in my area because there literally just isn't one, or I'm certainly not aware of one. I've been talking about it, but just pulling my finger out and actually doing it. It's like I've got so many different things that I'm doing all the time. It's like the universe is constantly pulling me in different directions. But when the time is right, I certainly believe in divine timing, and I'm sure it'll fall into place. But one day I'll definitely have my own school. One day. Who knows when? Probably when the community is set up and we're off grid.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. We can't do it all on our own. That's the other thing. You know, I sort of beginning to realise more and more, you know, at the start of all of this, I was like, I want my own school for my kids and I want this and that. And I was like, no, you can't. You've got to get together with a community and like-minded people. It's too hard to do it on your own. So I think it will come together at the right time when it's meant to.
Well, I think that schools and, like, mass education shouldn't be like, all the people of this age go together.
No.
And this is what you're learning. It should be like, right, these are the lessons that are on today. Doesn't matter how old you are, but if you want to come to this lesson today, you should have the choice about what you want to learn. It should be like, so this is the different teachers who are working today. This is what they're teaching. You choose which one you want to go to. And it doesn't matter how old you are. You can have grown adults learning with four-year-olds, and it doesn't matter. Like, it should be a mixed group of everything. And that's what it is. When it comes to teaching and learning, who says that we need to be segregated by age? Like, there's children who are, like, far advanced in maths than myself, and it's like we shouldn't be segregated in that sort of way. To cut the full education system is wrong. Obviously there's a lot of indoctrination in there as well, but the way that it's set up, it's just completely wrong. It's not done how it should be done.
Yeah, but I don't know if you've read it, I've mentioned it before, but Dumbing Us Down by John Taylor Gatto is one of the most amazing books. He was an award-winning teacher in America, but he writes about how wrong the system is, and he's a real advocate of homeschooling or home education. Ooh. And he talks about how it's been set up basically for it to indoctrinate, and even how having single age groups, it's because it encourages competitiveness, is where he said if you had the mixed ages, the older ones would naturally be more nurturing to the younger ones, and the younger ones would model off the older ones, and it would be a much more loving sort of environment and supportive. But instead, you basically put people by age and they become competitive. It's like just human psychology of how you know, you create that indoctrination. It's a really good book.
You'll have to send me the link for that one as well.
I'm sort of writing this down. I have to do that. I read that actually. How weird is it though? I got that book back in January 2020. And another homeschooling book. And I'd never, ever thought about homeschooling, ever. Like, just suddenly over the Christmas, I was like, I should look into homeschooling. So I got that book and another one. And then, like, 2 months later, lockdown happened. We were all being thrown into homeschooling. And I had these books on my, dressing table. And I was, like, laughing, thinking the universe really does look after us in some ways.
Definitely. You intuitively knew, like, some part of you knew that, whether you even realized it or not, you knew that you needed to have that information.
Well, I did, because when then the school during lockdown were like, the kids can sit on online lessons all day, I thought, sorry, fuck that. It's better not having to like comply with this system anyway, let alone doing it in my own house in the lockdown. So I was like, bollocks. Exactly. You know, so we didn't do any of the on school learning, and I think it was because that book gave me the confidence to go, fuck it.
I'm gonna get that book.
Yeah, really, really good. Definitely. And one thing, actually, sort of, we're covering so much, but I wanted to just ask, you know, it's interesting what you said about looking at other countries. And, you know, they're further ahead. And I often wonder, why is the UK how it is? Because we were in I've got a lot of friends in America, and for a while we were in stricter lockdown when other places weren't. Is it because we all, as a nation, everyone just complied with the vaccine, so they haven't had to? Like, I can't quite work it out.
I think it's a mixture of them both. So we had a lot of people complying. But when it got to around November-ish last year, there was a massive uprising in Britain. A lot of the gyms and stuff were staying open. And I think that they thought, right, do you know what? The British here are not fucking taking this sitting down. So I think what they've done is they've eased things up for us to, like you said, lull people into it, like a false sense of security. And then it's going to come back eventually. But it's just so a lot of people who were waking up, they've now like reverted back a bit, and they're like, no, it's all okay, it's fine. And but I think that if they'd have kept us in lockdown from then and they hadn't opened things back up, I think now they'd be like, riot, it would be mad. It would be wild. And I think that they've done it for a reason, to try and calm things down, let people relax, because we've all allowed our anger and stuff to subside. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously it's going to come back, and I'm ready to fight me. I don't care. Like, police, anything. I'm not scared of anyone who's got a badge. Like, I'm so grateful for learning about common law and all this stuff. I absolutely love it. Like, fuck fines and all that shit. Like, I've never been worried about getting a fine or anything for not wearing a mask, and I do not give a fuck about police. I've stopped protesting now because it's utterly pointless. I've been doing it since about around this time last year, maybe before. Then it just got to the point where I realised, like, what is the point? Mm-hmm. What have we actually achieved in that time? Nothing. We've achieved absolutely nothing. And it's not like all of a sudden these criminals are going to go, here's another protest, let's stop what we're doing. It's just literally pointless. So I've stopped now.
I haven't been to enough, but I definitely don't think the energy for the last... I felt low of vibe after going. Yeah. And for the last one, I thought, I can't do it again. And also, what is it achieving?
Exactly. It's not achieving anything, because it's not like it's getting onto the news. All it does is, I think it's good for one thing, people meeting each other. I've met people at protests and they've ended up turning into like really good friends now. And other than that, it doesn't really achieve anything. And I think that it's actually used by people within our movement, literally just so that they can gain more followers and stuff like that.
I agree. But what actually else is interesting though, you know, like, I'm surprised in some ways with France, you know, they've come, you know, they're our closest neighbour, I guess. Well, maybe, well, actually, they are probably closer than Ireland, and just how bad it is over there. And yet the French do protest quite violently, don't they?
Yeah, how, they do, yeah.
So I kind of think, how is it, I can't understand, almost make sense of the differences in these different countries, you know, and they're different. I mean, ultimately, it's the same end goal, right, wherever you are. But just, it seems like in the UK right now, I'm going to touch wood, things aren't anywhere near as bad as in other countries.
Yeah, definitely. I think the way forward now, so for me, like, I've literally been actually building an army, and I know that that sounds crazy, but I was at the point where I was like, this is war. You can't fight evil by being love and light. You've got to actually go out and fight by force. But I'm chilling out on that a little bit now, because I think that is probably, well, I kept getting a message from the universe where they were like, you're going to end up dying in a civil war here. You just need to chill the fuck out. But I do still think that civil war is coming, but in a more different way. We'll have to just wait and see how it comes. But I think the way to fight back now is to use your own God-given sovereign rights. I've stopped paying all my bills. Fuck them. I pay my rent and that's it. Don't pay water rates. I don't pay council. I don't pay gas. I don't pay electric. And that's how you fight the system back. Hit them in the pocket, because that's all we are to them. It's financial slaves. Financial slaves, and they make money from us in different ways. Why should we be paying for water? It's abundant. Why should we be paying for gas and electric when it's free for everybody? Like the way that they used to live previously, how dare the council try and charge people and fine people for parking fines? They don't own the road. They don't own the road. Most of the roads were bloody, the Romans built them over 2,000 years ago. They don't own them roads. And once you know your rights, and once you learn about straw man, your legal fiction, if you go onto my link tree, there's lots of information there, hours and hours of videos. It's not my videos. It's other people's videos who've put a lot of hard work into it. And it's all the information that you need to know. It's all there. It's free. You don't need to go to anybody. And there's people out there who are charging people for this information. But you don't have to. All the information's out there for free, and you can learn your rights. You don't have to be paying all these bills. It's an absolute con. You don't have to pay council tax. It's literally a con. We all believe that we have to pay these bills, and we don't. There's no law that says you have to pay council tax. There's no law. What do they do with that money? They take all this money, billions and billions of pounds off people in taxes and council tax, and they use it to go to war with other countries.
Do you know, this keeps coming up. I obviously, it's an area I need to look into, because so many people keep telling me, Lisa, common law, look into it. You know, there's various talks and courses and videos. And yeah, I haven't looked into it. So it's great you shared that on your link tree, because I need to have a look, actually. And I've said before, can I opt out of this taxpaying system? You know, I won't use their facilities. I don't want to use any of their staff, and I just won't pay any of it, and I'll be self-sufficient. Yeah man,
just get yourself out, and you know what, fuck them. They've took the piss out of us for years, still use the services, fuck them.
Yeah, well, I don't want to use their schooling services or the,
yeah, you know, the it's person. Just like, well, you know, like, probably, what do I use now? The bin man. And what's that? When that's probably, what, £2 a week for us all? But they're trying to charge us like hundreds of pounds a month for bloody council tax. I don't think so. Fuck off. And that's how we really fight back. You've got to hit them in the pocket. You've got to learn your rights. Get yourself out of the system, and that's it. That's how it works.
Yeah, and I think that's a really sort of powerful note. I'm conscious of the time to kind of end on for people as well, is that whole to know your rights, because I think, yeah, going to protests and having a picnic in Hyde Park after or whatever isn't the route to get us out of this mess. It's knowing your rights.
on one of the links as well on my link tree, it's a full playlist of loads of videos, and there's lots of examples of people who have gone to court and they know the rights, that they've learned all the common law stuff that they need to know, you know, Magna Carta and all that stuff, and they're literally, they've fought back and they've won in court, where they don't have to pay these fines, they don't have to pay council tax. And for those people who might be using what's it called again, universal credit, those people who might be on universal credit and thinking like, oh God, what if they take away my universal credit? Don't even worry about that for the time being, because there's even laws in place that say they're not allowed to stop paying you that. They are not allowed to stop paying you that, and all the information's on there for people to find.
That'd be really, really good for people to go to your, so that's on your link tree on your Instagram.
Yeah.
And where, you know, is there anything we haven't covered that you want people, listeners, to know about? Yes.
Jesus, we've jumped down a lot of rabbit holes. Yeah. You know what? There's so much. Maybe we should do another one another time, and we can jump into loads of other stuff like aliens and stuff like that.
Oh God, yes. Do you know what? This is the thing. I'm like, actually, when I do podcasts, you think an hour and a half is a long time, and I'm just like, I'm finding more
it's
and more. There's just too much to talk about. So yeah, I'd be well up for doing another one. Yeah, on aliens in particular, because I keep hearing that it's a false flag or a psyops or, you know, what? Yeah. Oh God, that's a cliffhanger.
It's so intricate. It goes in both ways. I've had contact, but oh my God, it's amazing. They come to me all the time. Do you know what? We really should meet up and I'll do some alien contact with you, because when you actually see them in the sky and they light the sky up, it's so amazing. We'll do a live on that, and we'll also meet up and we'll do some alien contact.
Oh, that'd be amazing. And so people that want to find out more about you, what's the best way to connect? Is it your Instagram account or your website? How do you like
any of them? So I'm just across the board, I'm Quantum Marie. So you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on YouTube. My website is Quantum Marie. I've got three different Instagrams actually. I've got like an awakening account with all my tarot one. I've got my personal account that's just Quantum Marie, and then I've got a backup account which is QM Truth. So
I'll put links to all of that in the show notes, and then we can go from there, and I'll put some of the books in that we've talked about and the other bits as well. So thank you for that. It's been really good to chat. Thank you.
I've loved it today. Thanks for having me on.